Welcome to the CollegeTestingHelps.com podcast, the podcast that helps you go to your dream college with big scholarships by getting top scores on your ACT. My name's Scott, and I am your host for the CollegeTestingHelps.com podcast. This is our fourth podcast. It is December the 5th, and the next ACT test is coming up this Saturday, December the 8th. So if you're preparing for that, I hope your preparations are going well. If you haven't been to CollegeTestingHelps.com, I hope you'll take a minute and visit that site and look at the free information that I've given you there about preparing for the ACT test. I'm also on Facebook. If you go to Facebook and search for College Testing Helps, you can find me. And if you wouldn't mind liking College Testing Helps, that will help me get the URL that I need to be able to give you that URL directly. I'm also on Twitter at College Test Help. And so if you're a Twitterer, please follow me there, and you'll get some tips and tricks and information about the ACT test via Twitter. You can also, on CollegeTestingHelps.com, sign up on the right-hand side for tips and tricks to come to you in your email. So you can also do that. So as always, I would like to start this podcast by spotlighting a university and giving you the information that they have there about what the ACT test requirements or typical ACT test is for their incoming freshmen. The one I've chosen today is the University of Florida, and I will have the link to this in the show notes. And they say that for the ACT test, they require a minimum of 19 on the reading section, 19 on the math section, and 18 on the English and writing sections. So note that they do require you to take the ACT test with the writing. As I mentioned a couple podcasts ago, I'm seeing that more and more, that the writing is a requirement. And so if you are planning on going to the University of Florida, make sure you are signing up for the ACT test with writing. Now, that's the minimum requirement. There is also the typical ACT test scores for their incoming freshmen. And for 2012, and they list the middle 50% of the class has ACT tests of 27 to 29. So that gives you kind of an idea of what you're up against. Doesn't mean that you have to have that, but that's pretty typical. The middle 50% of the class has that range. There's some that have higher, there's some that have lower, but that gives you kind of a idea of where you might be. And for 2011, the range was 28 to 32. So it's interesting that it changed from 27-29 to 28 to 32. Now, I couldn't find any information about any scholarship requirements in terms of the ACT test. I'm sure that some of the individual scholarships that are offered by different departments or outside people or groups have some requirements or some test scores that are typical, but I was not able to find any information about that. But knowing what the typical incoming scores are, that will also give you an idea. Well, as I mentioned, because the ACT test is coming up very soon in just a few days, I wanted to talk about some test-taking strategies, give you some ideas of some things that you can do without a lot of trouble in most cases to help you increase your score on the ACT test. So we'll go through these, and I hope that you'll be able to use those, if not on this upcoming test, at least on a future one. So the first tip is that, and this is a hard one, it seems obvious, but my experience has been that when students start taking the test, they ignore this one almost right off, and that is to do the easy questions first. Now, again, that seems obvious, but what typically happens is that you'll get in there and start taking the test and just think, oh, I just forget all that. I just want to go from start to finish. Well, that is not the best strategy. And the reason for that is that you want to make absolutely sure that you have an opportunity to adequately address every question where you can get the answer right, where you know how to work it. When you know how to do that particular question, you want to make sure that you aren't just guessing, that you are actually looking at it, processing it, and giving the answer. That is not the easiest thing to do. And you might think that it is, but it does take some practice. And so as part of your preparation strategy, you will want to take some time to practice that method and skip over questions that you aren't sure of or that you don't know how to do and come back to them. And you will learn to recognize as you do this, learn to recognize the things that you do well and the things that you should do first and how to postpone and to postpone those that are harder. What happens is that it's easy to get sucked into a hard problem or a hard question and just get this mindset that you are determined to tackle it. Do not get sucked into doing that. You will use up precious time, and you are fighting for every minute you can get on the ACT test to be able to address the problems. There's a number of other reasons why this is a good strategy. Sometimes you will see something in another part of the test that will help you with that harder problem. You'll be reminded of something. Your mind will all of a sudden, the light bulb will go on, as they say, and you will remember something that will help you with that harder problem. And if you just get focused on trying to solve that, not only do you eat up precious time, but you don't give your mind the chance to do that for you, or perhaps to see something later in the test. This is particularly common on the math test. There will even be times where there'll be something in the question itself later that might help you with that harder problem. Now, just make sure that when you're skipping questions, you have some kind of a strategy for marking the questions in your test booklet to know that you've got to come back and process those. You always want to get every question answered, but in every single test, you'll want to do the easy questions first. Now, you might think that applies really strongly for the math test. Easy to see how that would apply, but what about the other ones? Well, particularly on reading and science, there are four different types of passages on the reading test. There's a science one, there's a social science one, there's a prose, and so forth. And some of those types of some of you will be able to process and understand some of those types of passages better than others. And you'll always want to tackle that one first and get that one done and out of the way. So same thing with the science test. There are several types, and we'll go over all this later. But there are several types of sections that are presented in the science test, and some of those you will be able to do easier than others. If you do well with charts and graphs and tables, well, you'll want to process and do that section first rather than just doing it from start to finish. So kind of if you see a question that you know exactly how to answer, make sure you answer it and then move on. If you're not certain how to do it, then circle it and move on. And that's kind of a strategy or a way to think of it that will help you with this. This is going to be hard for you to do, and I've seen it. I've seen it as people have taken practice tests that they, without having a very strong discipline in doing this, it is very easy to get sucked into just going from start to finish. So don't do that, and it will ensure that you get the chance to answer every question that you personally have the ability to answer and know how to answer and will do well on. So what do you do for questions that you just cannot figure out? Well, as you know, there are no penalty for guessing on the ACT, and so you want to have a strategy for guessing. You might think that that's kind of a silly thing to say. Why wouldn't you just guess? Well, there's several things you can do. The first obvious thing is that if you can eliminate some of the answers for whatever reason, then you start to quickly increase your chance of guessing the correct answer. You go from a 1 in 5 chances on the math section, for example, to, if you can eliminate a couple, to a 1 in 3, and that goes from a 20% to a 33% chance. And that's a big jump. So if you can eliminate answers, do that and then guess. Most of the questions, many of the questions will have an answer that is maybe nonsensical would be the right way to say it. It's obviously not correct. And if you can quickly find that and eliminate that answer or those answers, then you're left with guessing from the remaining choices. If you eliminate some, that increases your chance. So one of the reasons you want to do this is thinking about what we talked about at first and doing the easy questions first, have a strategy in your test booklet for marking the ones that you need to come back and visit, whether it's circling it, whether it's putting a checkbox, whether it's putting some kind of mark there that allows you to quickly find the ones that you've got to come back and revisit, eliminate, guess, and guess on, and make sure you do that. If you can eliminate some answers but aren't sure you want to guess quite yet, cross out the answers that you've eliminated, and that allows you to come, when you come back, to be able to guess from the ones that are remaining. If you can, and maybe you'll be able to do something to eliminate some more. So one of the strategies that you want to take with guessing and eliminating answers is to be very careful about what you eliminate. Now, this may seem obvious, but the point here is that if you accidentally eliminate the right answer, then you have 0% chance of guessing it correctly from the remaining answers. And so what you want to do is say, how sure am I that the answer that I am eliminating is not the correct answer? And one way that you can do that is by saying, would I be willing to pay somebody $10 if I got this particular question, if this particular answer that I'm eliminating was actually the right answer? Would it be worth it to me? And if you can answer yes to that, then go ahead and eliminate it. That means you're pretty sure. If you're not sure, then you may want to leave it in, because again, the point is that if you eliminate the answer that is actually correct, and then guess from the remaining ones, you have 0% chance of getting the answer right. And so be careful about the ones you eliminate, but if you can eliminate them, eliminate and then guess from the rest of them. Okay, the next tip that I have is that you should take some time, and this can be done in your practice tests, to understand and know the instructions ahead of time. Each one of the sections has some specific instructions, and they're the same every time. They're the same in the practice test, they're the same in the actual test. So if you can know what those instructions are ahead of time, you will not have to spend time during the actual ACT test time to process those, and that will give you minutes back that you can use for answering questions. So make sure you take some time during your preparation to look through the instructions and process those in your mind, understand what you have to do for each section, and that will save you time when you get to the actual test. Speaking of time, you will also need to learn to pace yourself. Every test has a limited set of time for it, and so it will be helpful if you figure out generally how much time per question, or how much time for a group of questions, or a passage that you have, you know, how much time is allowed for a passage. Figure all that out, and then learn to pace yourself within that. So, for example, on the math test, there are 60 questions, 60 minutes. You have about a minute per question. And so as you go through the test, you can kind of see where you are. If you're at about 30 minutes into the test, and haven't answered around 30 questions so far, then you're going to be falling behind. And the point there then is to ask in your mind, am I spending too much time on questions that are hard? Questions, have I gone through and answered all the questions that are easy first? And if you haven't, then you need to make sure that you're doing that. The practice tests are the best way to learn to pace yourself. So make sure you keep some practice tests for you to use to pace yourself with and learn how to do that. Make sure that you leave enough time to answer or guess on any questions that you haven't done. Don't leave yourself with only 10 seconds left to go through and answer the questions that you have skipped over. Give yourself enough time to go do that, to eliminate an answer or two, and then to guess from the remaining ones. Don't get caught being able to put at least guess an answer for every single question. Make sure you're not following that clock too much. You don't want to spend time looking up every 10 seconds. But every few minutes, you might just want to glance at it and just kind of see how you are, where you are, and if you need to speed up or do something that will help you. So be aware of the time. Don't spend a lot of time following the clock. You don't need to do that. You don't need to look up every 10 seconds. So make sure you aren't following the clock too much. Don't look up every 10 seconds, but it would be helpful to look up every few minutes and just see where it is and use that as a gauge for pacing yourself. All right, next thing for me to suggest to you is to have a plan of attack. So there's no time on test day to figure this out, and you want to formulate this and figure this out before you go to take your test. It's what practice tests are for. And so what do I mean about plan of attack? Well, it is all these things that we're talking about today. How are you going to mark your booklet? How are you going to attack the English test? Are you going to or the reading test? Are you going to look at the passage that is easiest for you? Which one would that be? Is it the science passage? You know, whatever it is, make sure you do this and figure it out ahead of time rather than have practiced it. That's the key, and have practiced it. There's no time on test day to do this, so know what you're going to do ahead of time. So have a strategy. Part of this would be having a strategy, or as an example, would be having a strategy for how you're going to answer the the answers on the answer sheet. How are you going to transfer the answers that you've determined to be correct from the test booklet to the answer sheet? And you might think this is obvious, that you would just do it one by one, but that actually takes you a little bit of extra time. And if you answer them in groups, you will get a little bit of time back. So again, like everything, you will want to practice this. So the strategy is that as you go through the test booklet, you simply circle the answer, and that every so often, you would then take a break and transfer your answers to the answer booklet. So you could do this maybe after every 5 or 6 questions or page or 2 pages or whatever it might be on the math test. On the English test, maybe you do it after every passage. There's 5 passages of 15 questions. Maybe after each passage, you would take a minute and transfer your answers. Same thing with the science. Maybe after each one of the passages, you would do that. So think or decide through practice what would work for you. This kind of keeps you on a roll when you're in the middle of answering the English questions, for example. Keeps you on a roll with that passage, doesn't distract your mind by taking some time to transfer the answer to the answer sheet. But it also will give you a bit of a break if you think about it. You do your answers, you work the problems, you figure out what the correct answer is, then you take a break and you transfer 15 of the answers to the answer booklet. Gives your mind just a little bit of a chance to breathe and relax, and all you need to do is just be careful about transferring at that point. You want to be careful about changing your answers. Now, some say always go with your first response, your first thought, and there's some truth to that, but if you are second-guessing yourself and have a very good reason, then go ahead and change it. Be careful about doing this, only if you're sure. Address the reason why the doubt came into your mind. Think about why I think the second answer might be the correct answer. If it's reasonable and you're quite sure that it is the correct answer, then go ahead and change. But be careful about doing that. One of the biggest things you can do to get in more questions correct is to be careful about being careless. So just don't be careless. That's the takeaway here. Make sure you know exactly what the question asks for. If you haven't looked and understood exactly what the question is asked for, then you're in big trouble. So make sure that you are being very careful. Be careful in marking the answer. When you transfer your answers over to the answer sheet, or if you do them one by one, if you decide to do that, be careful in marking the answer. Don't get off. If you accidentally transpose your answers down a line, then you're going to get a whole ton of wrong. You're essentially guessing at that point for the whole test. So be careful about how you do that. There are so many mistakes made that are just simply careless mistakes. Happens so regularly on math tests, for example. Just be really careful and don't be careless. When you're in the middle of the test, every so often, just take a few seconds and clear your mind. Close your eyes, relax, just take a quick break. Don't fall asleep, but roll your neck. Do this with your eyes closed so the proctor won't think that you're trying to cheat. But just take a little bit of a break and clear your mind, and that may help you also to do better tests by giving you a quick break. If by some miracle you get done early, make sure you go back and check some of your answers and maybe rework the problem a little bit different. Don't just rest. Don't put your head down on the desk and rest. Use the full time to go through the question. And there will always be questions that you have some doubt about. Go back and address those. If it's a math question, work it a different way. See if you get the same answer. There's a number of things that you can do during that, but don't rest. Take some time. Go back and check answers. The final strategy I want to mention to you is that when you go into the test, your preparation is essentially done. There's not much more you can do at that point. And you have to tell yourself that. When my sons were in orchestra, their teacher, the conductor would tell them when they came to play at the concert, they needed to tell themselves mentally in their mind, my preparation is complete. And then give yourself that confidence that you can go in and do your very best. And so I hope you will do that when you take the test on Saturday, that you'll tell yourself your preparation is complete. Go forward with full confidence that you'll do your very best. And if you do that along with these other things that we've talked about, I think you'll do very well and get a great score on the ACT. Just a reminder that there is a resource called ACT Exam Secrets. I will have a link to that in the show notes. It has a ton of tips and tricks to help you do extremely well on the ACT, and I highly recommend this source. So that's all for today. Good luck on your preparation. If you are taking the test this Saturday, Tell me on Twitter or on Facebook how you did, and if you didn't do as well as you like, let me know, and I will see what I can do to help. Tell me what section you had struggles with or what types of questions you had struggles with, and I can address those either on the website, on Facebook, or here on the podcast. And contact me on any of those venues in Facebook, Twitter, or you can send me an email at scott@collegetestinghelps.com. That's all for today, folks. I hope you do well, and if you're not taking it this time, that you continue to prepare and get ready for the next test. See you later. Bye-bye.